Hey you, what's happening at work? What's keeping you up at night? What's causing you frustration or depleting your wellness at work? Talk to me and with me. This is Joyce Adidison, your host with the What's Happening at Work show, where we create solutions to work, live, and play well. Join me now for next episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to What's Happening at Work podcast live. My name is Joyce Odidison, and today we have a guest speaker. We have Lisa Goldenthal, and Lisa is the owner of High Performance Executive Coaching, and she's been coaching for over 10 years. And today she's bringing some nuggets for those of you who are CEOs on our list who, of course, facilitate organizational well-being, and you will hear some of Lisa's tips and strategies to maintain your own well-being. So, Lisa, welcome.
Joyce, thank you so much for having me here. It's great to be here with your audience and you.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being here and making time. So tell me, what got you started in this area?
Well, health and wellness is my first love. I really have a huge background as somebody who I think I usually was always very anxious and stressed if I dig deep into why I always loved exercise so much. And I think it's just something I've been so passionate about that that was my first love and still is something I'm so passionate about sharing with people. Whether I did my busy workouts for busy bosses, my first workout DVD that I did back in 2008, it was the skinny jeans workout, shorter workouts for busy bosses. And then in 2019, I did the boss weight loss. And really love helping bosses just make it not complicated to add wellness to their lives. And
Excellent.
as a high performance executive coach, it's really about mental wellness and physical wellness. It's really both. And how can you perform at your best, better than your peers, in the top, over time, and become anti-fragile because of all the stress that I've personally been through? I've decided that I'm not only passionate about health and wellness, but mental health and becoming anti-fragile is something I'd love to share with you guys today.
All right. Well, this is great. I'd love to hear more about antifragile and your really how you define it. What does it look like? What does it feel like? So let's talk more about that. Those of you who are listening today, Joyce Adidison here, What's Happening at Work podcast, and with Lisa Goldenthal. Let us find out how to become antifragile. Antifragile, absolutely. I'm really curious about that.
I love that topic. And here's why. I was taking out the garbage one time in my new place where I moved, where I knew absolutely nobody, and I fell on my butt. And it was a chilly morning, and I was so humiliated lying there, but I had to get up and I fell again. And I had to get back up. Ridiculous, right? But it got me thinking. How often do we as leaders find ourselves unexpectedly knocked down by stress and overwhelm? And as a high performance coach, I guide CEOs to build resilience, and you have to be tough as old boots so that you can become anti-fragile, not just surviving the events, but becoming better because of them. That's my definition of anti-fragile. And this is important because you need to tackle stress by identifying what are the sneaky triggers and master the art of staying cool under pressure, because that's what people will notice, that leadership. And you can do that by making mental well-being a top tier priority so that you can create a wave of positive energy that sweeps through your team, transforming your work environment into a powerhouse of productivity and good vibes.
Interesting. I love how you talk about when we identify those areas, those stressors, it empowers us. It gives us more insight into what they could be, and we can be more creative in finding ways to address them. So yeah. How do you help your clients to identify those stressors?
Well, it really boils down to emotional intelligence. It's just, you need to learn how to pause, the art of a pause. And a way that I teach my clients on how to master this really lifelong project for me of emotional intelligence is try breathing, taking a beat and pause. It is said by Viktor Frankl, a hero of mine, that the gap between the stimulus and response is actually where your power lies. So let's say I don't like being told what to do, and someone comes along and says, you really should do it this way. Instead of, like, imagine someone is throwing something at you, and instead of just throwing it back, you want to catch it first and repeat back what was said. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you want me to do everything I do differently. Is that correct? And then they have to repeat back what was said. So what, where your power lies is in that pause. And I'd like to give you an actionable tip in this active listening skill for emotional intelligence is just to breathe. Because I know for me, when I get all triggered and someone lobs something out at me, I forget to breathe. So you just take a nice deep breath. This is a box breathing technique that can really help you. Inhale, hold your breath, and then exhale. And during that time, you can repeat back what was said to you. You can buy some time. You can find a way to not react, but respond to this stimulus or trigger that's stressing you out right now. Because to get really deep into this EQ stuff, it's really not about the other person. It's your stuff.
Very true. And I think we often forget that it's not the other person, because we want to fix that other person or tell them, right? Or stop them. And it's really what we do with it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you've just thrown that my way. How do I want to deal with it? How do I want to respond to it? Because now it's my turn and I get to craft the next step. Because if I just give it back, then I don't get the luxury of crafting it.
Yeah. Right? It's empowering because you're taking the power back, and people will remember that you were that person. We've all been thrown into a storm lately. And true leadership is about those people that calmly and strongly led us through difficulty over time. People will remember how you made them feel, how you handled the pressure. So the call right now to your audience of being anti-fragile is to have these tools, ninja mindset tools that I share with my clients. You can always empower yourself every day with mindfulness techniques. I attended UPW, the Tony Robbins Unleash the Power Within, during 2020, because it was really another moment for me where I was like, okay, it was like me and everybody else in the world. Now what? How are we going to speak live at events? How are we going to coach people in person? You know, all that shifted. And for me, it was a tool that I learned there of the priming meditation that I listened to since then every morning, of just finding three things I can be grateful for, finding three things I want to focus on. And the gratitude is so grounding for me, and the focus helps me get stuff done.
Absolutely. Because when you only do three things, there is that sense of satisfaction that comes with it. Because most of us are able to do three things in the day, or one big thing that we cut into three, right? If you don't have, if it's all intertwined, you could cut, say, these are the three aspects of this task I want to complete. And you have more control over that because you feel completed at the end of the day, and you really have that joy of completing your work and having things that, but when we make our list so long, then we look at it and it's like, I didn't get anything done, right? So great strategy. Absolutely. Love that.
Yeah. And putting your well-being first is another great way of leadership where people will notice because, the old mantra mentality of always on and in control is like being a superhero who's on call 24/7, but even you superheroes need to recharge. So the big challenge here is the myth that self-care is selfish or a lapse in leadership. So don't buy into the myth. And I work with CEOs to flip the script. You have to put your well-being into your calendar first before anything else. Like I do my meditation, I do my yoga, I get up earlier, and that feeds me. And that will help your well-being, will help your effectiveness as leaders.
Absolutely. Because when you are putting well-being wherever it fits, it's not a priority, right? You have
Right.
your morning routine for well-being, and that should be crafted. That should be what we call non-negotiable here at Interpersonal Wellness. We say these are non-negotiables.
Yes.
And if it means I have to wake up an extra hour to get my well-being in, that's what I will do. And if it means that, because sleep, most people though, they think, well, maybe I'll go to bed an hour later or 2 hours later, or I just won't sleep much. But sleep is such an important aspect of well-being that it's, and a lot of people think that they can cheat on sleep, but sleep affects so much everything in our lives. And it's not until later people start realizing how important sleep is. So sleep is a well-being tactic. Rest is a well-being strategy. And we need to build well-being around our lives, build our lives around our well-being so that it's not something that we're like, well, maybe I won't go for my walk today. Maybe I won't spend my time journaling and reflecting and visualizing and just have that time for growth and development or that time to center myself. Whatever it is, it's so important to have that.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just when you're telling other people in the workplace that they need to prioritize their mental health and you're being authentic and real and be like, this is where I struggled. That connects you, that helps create the buy-in that you want, that helps create the engaged employees if you make this a team goal of
Absolutely.
not glorifying overworking, but that's a myth that you don't need to sleep or you can rest when you're dead. I have burned out before and it is not pretty. I've gotten to the point where I was so tired a few weeks ago. I'm like, I had just completed all this work for 2 months and I was exhausted and I'm trying to sit there and relax. I can't do it. I'm just so tired, but I have to look at my phone and it literally fell on my head. And I'm like, if that's not a sign that I need to have boundaries and delegate. Delegation is your superpower right now. It's just the control freak. As a recovering perfectionist, I can say that when you feel like no one else is going to do it, you got to do it. You're going to burn out, and I've been there, and it is not pretty. So, what you want to do is challenge your employees to take this on with you. Need a supportive work environment.
That makes sense because often leaders will say, well, they won't do it well, but I always encourage them to spend a little more time, invest the time up front to train their staff
Yeah.
and train them and show them how valuable they are.
Yes.
That is what builds ownership and builds them, gives them that motivation to say, wow, I want to do this because. When I do this, and you have to tell them, when you do this, you're taking stuff off my plate so I can do the things you can't. But most leaders don't spend the time, they just do your job, but show your employees how their work complements and simplifies your life and allows you to be able to have the time to spend with them and to further develop them. And I think it's sometimes a missing link in the work with leaders because they're so busy.
Yeah, I mean, boundary setting and delegation isn't just like offloading tasks. It's empowering your team and reclaiming your sanity at the same time. So these simple shifts can lead to monumental gains. And everyone's talking about this quiet quitting and disengaged employees that are just sitting there waiting for the day to be over while they're secretly looking for another job. Mm-hmm. So we all want those kind of results of those engaged employees that feel like you've empowered them by delegating. And this empowers you to have a more well-balanced life. I mean, okay, we all know work-life balance is a myth, but work-life integration is possible for you with the right delegation.
Absolutely. Lisa, these are great tips that you've shared. Those of you who are listening, this is Joyce Adidison with Lisa Goldenthal here at What's Happening at Work podcast. We've just been talking about the importance of creating those strategies, boundaries, delegation, building good rapport with your team so leaders can maintain well-being. Lisa, thank you for those tips. Are there any last minute piece that you want to share? We have a couple of minutes to wrap up. And so if you have questions and comments, please feel free to share them at the end when this is posted so we can respond to them and give you answers to the questions.
Well, I just want to leave you with this. I want to empower you guys to be your own superhero, not in that you are on all the time, but that you got this. And I have a free gift for your audience where I'm sharing for free for a limited time a course that I've created on how to attain peak performance. And this will give you all of my hacks on not only the things I'm an expert in of productivity, weight loss, fitness, but really peak performers are the people that perform better than their peers, not just now, but over time. So I want to help your audience. I'll share a link with you guys on how they can get, if they want any more information, they can have this for a limited time, this challenge for free.
Great. Well, thank you, Lisa. This sounds like a great deal. We look forward to it. So this will be in the link here with Joyce Adidison with What's Happening at Work podcast. And you'll be able to get the link in the description. You'll get a link to Lisa's bio and also all the free links that we have on this topic. Lisa, thank you so much for being here and making time today.
Thanks, Joyce, for having me. It was fun.
You're very welcome. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to What's Happening at Work. This is Joyce Adidison, your host, and I want to thank you for being with us. Thank our guests and our sponsors, Interpersonal Wellness Services, Inc., the Global Workplace Wellness Summit, and of course, the Wellness Competency Mindset Movement. And if you want to hear from us, learn more, or get more episodes, join us at interpersonalwellness.com, where we help you to work, live, and play well. Bye now, and we'll see you for another episode.